Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez, Patty Vasquez.
From global conflicts to greenhouse gases, the folks refusing to wear masks, and politicians getting caught grabbing asses. She's driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
I don't know. It's never going to get old for me. It's, again, that's Steve Goody. Although recently, Steve Goody, the musician and writer who crafted that theme song for us, told us that he's every time he hears it, he thinks, I think I sampled somebody else. So expect a new rendition of that song sometime soon. Hope that you're all happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are today. It is stunningly gorgeous in Chicago today. This is the kind of weather that I live for. It's wonderful. And we would love to hear from you. Give us a call anytime during the conversation because it is your conversation. 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278. You can call or text us to that number. But, of course, as Santita Jackson always says, we would love to hear your lovely voices. And don't forget, you can watch us on the live stream. And today you'll want to tune in on the live stream so you can get a gander. I think a gander is a correct word, don't you think, Jerry?
Well done, yes.
Gander. Yeah, take a gander.
I like it.
At our guests' incredible brew. We have in studio with us Kirk Bangstad, who is the brewer of Progressive Beer, Minocqua Brewing in Wisconsin. I guess everyone in Chicago knows if I say Minocqua.
It's true. Well, the West Siders probably know more than the heart of Chicago. You just got to go on Highway 39 and drive straight north for like 5 hours, and you're on a lake called Lake Minocqua.
Lake Minocqua. And joining us, as I mentioned, is Jerry Walski. Jerry is here, first of all, introduced me to Progressive Brew and Minocqua Brewing, but also wanted to come on the air for a disclaimer. Jerry Walski would like to clarify something.
Yes. Veronica Walski, same last name spelling. No way in at all related to me. I called my mom. Is there some weird whack job aunt or cousin? She's like, no, we're all good. No Veronicas or whatever. No, we're
allegedly
good.
Allegedly.
Right, exactly, right. My bad, yeah, right.
Kirk, when Jerry volunteers, he's worked with me both in the campaign trail and at our Sunday market for Jefferson Park. He's always like, everyone thinks I'm their Polish cousin.
Exactly. I have that look. I know. I go to Andy's down the street. They put me to work. It's crazy.
why you brought the beer today, but why didn't you bring the kielbasa as well, my friend?
We're right down the street. We can grab some after the show.
Oh, Jerry. I know Jerry goes there for their soup.
I'm there every day. Oh, yeah.
The soup. What's your favorite soup over at Andy's Deli?
You know, I get some good chicken noodle soup. I get some. They got it all.
Do they do like a beet soup? They have to do a good beet soup.
Oh, well, they got the sauerkraut stuff.
That's good stuff.
Punchkas.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
I get it, man.
What Progressive brew would you pair with a beet soup?
We're going to have to work on that.
Oh, yeah. No, we'd have to go. We'd go the Biden beer. It's inoffensive and not bitter. And so it'd be, all that bitterness of the beets would be complimentary, exactly. I think.
See how he thinks?
Well done.
And here's the thing, too, because in years past, I used to have a sommelier on for Halloween and have them pair wines with Halloween candy because the parents end up eating most of the candy anyway.
Brilliant.
So you got to find out what goes with
That's
your Kit
Kat. That's a tough pairing.
But I bet you, that lobbyer. So let's go back. Let's back up a little bit, first of all, because I'm excited to have you in studio, clearly. And Jerry introduced me to your brew a few weeks ago. So Jerry connected with you. I mean, like, there are people who are like, I like something. This is nice to drink. Jerry's like, I need to find out more about this. So Jerry, tell us a little bit about how you met Kirk. Yeah,
well,
it's on you now.
I made a phone call, and then he picked it up. And I'm like, dude, I love your stuff. I love your story. I love everything you're doing. We're going to find out more about that right now in a little bit. But the fact that I can drink beer and have it go to a very good cause, which is insane, up in Wisconsin where we really need it, and so, and it's great. Oh, my God, it's so good. And there's so many coming out. Every day you're coming out with something new, it seems like.
Yeah. And, but these probably are the a main bad ones business here. Move, we've but it's
got,
fun.
We've got the Biden beer, and we've got, where am I looking at camera-wise?
The Bernie Brew. Yeah, your camera's right there, so you can hold it up for
the
photos.
The Bernie Brew, right there, fine looking. And then we got the Fair Maps.
I love that.
First of all,
hold on a second. Sorry, that's me talking to myself.
Oh, okay. Hello.
I'm trying to check.
Did
on
you
the,
open one on that side
I
yet, or no?
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay. I have Facebook Live on my phone, so nice. I want to see how it looks.
We're in stereo. All right, that's good. So then, and then the Kamala, which you, this is the one. Yeah, you.
That's,
you're
I love
digging on this one.
And there are folks who are like, there's so many people who are like, I don't like a stout, and I'm like, no, you need to try this stout. So let's back up a little. So you got the Law, the Fair Maps,
right?
You got to say Kamala. I mean, it's that's the reason.
Right.
know?
Right. The comma.
It's the comma, which is
the la, right.
For people who can't see it, there's a comma in front of the letters
so
L.A.
It's spelled out phonetically, I guess.
And Kamala Harris, when she was running, she was on The View, and nobody could pronounce her name right. They said Kamala. Right. And so she's like, no, it's like the comma and then add a la, Kamala. Right. So that's kind of how we figured that one out.
There you go.
Before you go into everything, can we open a couple of these?
Been told that as the board op, I cannot.
Right. But you can decide that which one you want.
Well, we were officially told was that I cannot. So
exactly.
It sounds like that.
Dude,
that,
if which, you don't want that IPA, I'm all over it.
So, let's back up. So how long have you been a brewer, Kirk?
So I moved.
There we go.
There you go.
I moved to Minocqua. It's just kind of a starting little sad story, but my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and we were living in New York City. And I grew up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. And we kind of took off of life and traveled around the world for a year. And we decided to vacation in Minocqua. And so that was the last bit of our tour. And she started, you know, she miraculously, you know, started doing pretty well. And so she said, let's stay here.
Oh.
Let's stay in the up north, the North Woods, because it's just peaceful and bucolic. And so I wasn't employed. We had taken a year off of life, and this guy wanted to sell this brew pub, and he was looking for a buyer, and it had a stage, and I'm a singer, and so I was like, this is kind of cool. Like, she wants to stay here. This guy wants to sell his brew pub. I don't know that much about making beer, but I do know, you know, how to run a business. So I bought it, and I've hired brewers. So actually, I've been an assistant brewer way more than I actually like do it myself. Like, there's way more talented brewers making my beer than me right now, actually.
Gotcha. And so when you decided to take on this venture, take on a brew pub someplace, had you had experience in this sort of industry when it came to serving food? And if
actually, no. Like, I was in marketing. I did marketing for, like, Microsoft and Oracle and stuff. And so I knew nothing about running a restaurant. And I thought, how hard can it be?
Famous last words.
I was like, oh, my God. It's, like, the hardest job.
Wow.
The hardest job.
Had you ever even been a server?
I had. Okay. Actually, I worked at Wild. When I was going to grad school here, I worked at Wildfire downtown. I was a waiter at that steak restaurant.
Sure,
I don't know
sure.
if it's still around. I mean, that was like 20 years ago.
There are some wildfires still around.
So, yeah.
They franchised, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, I was a waiter in Chicago for a while.
Oh man, yeah. And I'm sure you have stories about that. So when you decided to open this brew pub, and I know that part of your story is that then the pandemic hits. How long had you had the brew pub when the pandemic hits?
It's 2016 is when we bought it. So yeah. It was like, you know, almost 5 years, and we were just getting our stride. You know, I just figured out how to run this darn thing. You know, it takes about 5 years to figure out any kind of new business. You know, that's kind of what they say. Now, just figuring it out, and then we were about to do a St. Patty's Day, a beer pairing dinner. I was going to sing some, you know, Scottish, Irish, you know, English songs, and the whole state of Wisconsin shut down an hour before the, you know, St. Patty's Day that night, like March 17th.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
it's one of the
obviously,
days of the year, of
yeah,
course,
for
yeah.
a restaurant, the food was made. We were a packed house, but it was a super spreader event waiting to happen. You know,
of course.
That's
yeah.
the reason the yeah. governor decided to shut it all down.
And how did it go? Before we get onto how you became the progressive brewer, what was it like? Did you end up getting to use the performance space as a musician? I'm just curious, because it's common.
Oh yeah. So weirdly, I'm an opera singer. So weird, like, doesn't really go well with brew pubs. But I would do these fancy dinners at night, and I would sing like Edith Piaf jazz, and we would do a French dinner wine pairing, and then we did a beer pairing for St. Patty's Day, and I'd sing like Loch Lomond, by yon bonny banks and yon bonny braes, where the sun shines
wow,
bright, Loch Lomond, you know, that stuff.
Wow.
But and then we, you know, and I would do like Sunday afternoons, no matter what, there'd be 30 people over the age of 80 that would show up,
right.
no matter what,
right.
and I'd do like like Oktoberfest, like classical German music. Oh, we do French chanson. You know, it was cool. It was weird. Like, you wouldn't expect it in North Woods, but
dude, we're gonna go to karaoke after this.
We're gonna crush it.
Yes.
Okay. To that, what's your favorite karaoke song? Do you karaoke?
No, don't let the sun go down on me. Like the Elton John and the George Michael version.
Wow.
Yeah, that like. Like, I've kind of memorized how the riffs go on that, and wow. So I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it on the karaoke.
Oh, wow.
Jam.
Next right. go-around when you come into town, we got to go to karaoke
there
night.
Free drinks waiting for us someplace.
So we're
also,
out.
End of the road, by the way. If you get another couple dudes that know how to harmonize, don't you ego to the end of the road, right? You got to do that in karaoke. Like, you're bringing back, like, the 80s.
Man, between Jeremy and Kirk in studio.
Look out.
Just so we know, the board op is not drinking anything.
No.
We're having a great time in studio.
Dude, I've only had three sips. I mean, this is natural effervescence right here.
Before we go to the break, Shelby Mason says she loves the concept of this. Gary says Semper Fi, by the way.
Great.
He always says Semper Fi, so Semper Fi right back at you, my friend. By the way, someone's asking about why I'm not wearing a baseball hat. So I like that that's actually a thing on my show. I almost always wear a baseball hat because I work from home, but today I had to go into the world, and it takes me about an hour to do my hair, and I'm not putting a baseball hat on this one.
A vision of loveliness over there.
Thank you. But if you happen to have any Progressive Brew baseball hats at some point, I'm your girl for wearing that every single day.
Oh, man.
Wear baseball hats. We are hanging out with Kirk Bankstead, and he is he's a progressive brewer from Minocqua Brewing. Would you say it that way? Progressive brew?
Yeah. #progressive beer. Yeah, that's the call tagline.
#progressive beer. And we're trying to make sure that he is available in more stores throughout the Chicagoland area for folks who live in Wisconsin. And I know you can hear me. You want to grab some of these brews. And you know what? Here's the thing. Even if you don't agree with the politics, and you still be like, I'm just curious. You know what? Hate drink it. You can just hate.
There you go.
I hate listen to Fox News.
Perfect.
You can hate drink this beer.
There you go. A six pack.
I'm just saying. Let's see what this guy made, and then you'll be like, and maybe it'll change your mind about politics.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. This is how we connect with people. We're hanging out in studio on WCPT 820, driving at home with Patty Vasquez and Jerry Walski, no relation to Veronica, in studio with us with Kirk Bankstead. More after this. You can give us a call if you have any questions. I know the texts and the comments are coming through, so thank you for that. 773-763-WCPT. That's 773-763-9278. We'll be right back.
The David Pakman Show.
Congressman Jim Jordan and Congressman Jim Banks are effectively insurrectionists. They were participants in the ginning up of doubt about the election results in the months leading up to January 6th, which had people so fired up and almost like in a feverish state of arousal where they just went to the Capitol and attempted the insurrection on January 6th.
The David Pakman Show, weekday evenings at 8 on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Patty Vasquez is taking your calls now at 773-763-9278. Driving it home with Patty Vasquez now on WCPT 820.
You are listening to Driving It Home, and we're thrilled that you're here, and I'm thrilled that my guests are in the studio. Jerry Walski, no relation to Veronica. Did you know about Veronica before her passing?
No, I really didn't. No.
Veronica
That's
was...
how little I knew about her.
It was just her...
Exactly.
So for those who aren't familiar, Veronica Walski in the Jefferson Park area would go on our bridges over the Kennedy and hang signs, and it started out with her passion about Bernie, and then it transitioned. She was a QAnon rabbit hole.
She went from Bernie to QAnon?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, easily swayed.
I know.
I knew of the lady. I didn't know that was her name. So I knew of that,
fair.
But I didn't put the
Bridge
two.
Lady. We all knew it was Bridge Lady.
Right.
And
gotcha.
She was, she contracted COVID. She actually would go into places of business to antagonize the workers because she would wear like a Zorro mask and like demand to see the manager, say she had an exemption, medical exemption for the mask, came down with COVID, was at our hospital in the neighborhood, in a hospital that serves so many people in this community, demanding ivermectin, and then drew the attention of Lynn Wood and Michael Flynn.
It went national.
My God.
They had Lynn Wood on the phone, was like harassing the operator at the hospital, saying that the operator would be held for murder because, and so they they were getting protests and they were being harassed. It's awful. So that's one of the reasons you're here is to...
Yes.
Veronica Karen.
Exactly. All the ladies out there I'm currently speaking to online, I'm not related to Veronica.
And sadly, I mean, the thing is that like it is heartbreaking. It is tragic. She passed away earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things where like people are they're in this mania.
She passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah, because she wanted ivermectin. She didn't want to wear a mask. She didn't believe in the vaccine.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen there have been about five conservative radio hosts have passed away all on the air, banging away at how, you know, and I've talked about this before, and that's why I'm so glad that you're here because, you know, progressives need progressives. We need to support each other because the other side has been masterful at controlling the airwaves. Yeah. You know, you drive through, you know, in Wisconsin, you drive, there's Christian radio, and then after the sermon is conservative talk show all day. Maybe some football.
There's 81 conservative AM stations in Wisconsin, and there's one progressive radio station in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
I don't really know. I think it's just a funding thing. Like, I don't think Democrats or progressives have thought about this a whole lot. But that's why we were talking earlier, like, there's a Madison progressive radio station that, you know, I'm on because we got to support this guy because he's, like, the only one, you know. So you have to, you know, putting beer on grocery store shelves all throughout the state of Wisconsin is like a little mini billboard to remind people that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm. And, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
You know, because it's like northern Wisconsin is where I'm from. That's the most red part of Wisconsin. So like kind of the story is, I felt like the world was coming to an end, you know, and Wisconsin is one of 9 swing states that actually – the outcome of the presidential election is decided. And so they flood millions and gazillions into Wisconsin. And so it's just an awful, you know, negative, like, landscape throughout the entire presidential election. And I lived in, the reddest of the red area. And I had to close my restaurant because COVID was on the rise and it was getting cold up in northern Wisconsin. And, you know, I didn't feel right about having, you know, people inside at that time. And what happened was it was August and we make all our money. We're tourist communities. So we make all our money in like 4 months, you know. And so when September hits, you know, it's like we got to I was like, OK, we're not going to have indoor dining. Mitch McConnell had sat on the stimulus, the second round of stimulus for the entire country, which included restaurants and bars. It was passed by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House in June, and he didn't deal with it because he didn't want to hand the Democrats a win before the presidential election, because that would help Biden win. So he sat on that for the entire country. All the bars and restaurants in the entire country couldn't get help. I mean, other people too, but, you know, this was my business. And I was so pissed.
Angry.
I was so angry that I had to lay off all of my employees. I had to lay off all of my employees. And I said, you know, it's because Trump couldn't handle the virus. And it's also because we didn't get the second round of stimulus because they're playing politics with my career and my livelihood. Yeah. And so I hung a huge Biden sign up when I closed my restaurant, laid off all my employees. I hung a huge Biden sign up on the side of my building, which is the biggest building in the little town of Minocqua. And that drew the ire of my county board, who are all Republican, are all conservative. And they sent me a letter the next day that said my sign was too big. And it broke a county ordinance. Because, you know, when it comes to signs, you know, I wonder who is more ridiculous when it comes to flags and signs.
Exactly.
I think the Trumpers would have been a little bit more ridiculous. Yeah. You see these crazy, like, hog trucks everywhere flying their flag.
Exactly.
So,
and the massive American flag. Everyone's got to one up each other.
So I was like, there's no way there's picking on me, obviously. So It was like 30 days before the presidential election, and they said they're going to charge me $250 a day until I took the sign down. So I did the math, and I was like, that's 30 times 250. That's like about $8,500. Mm-hmm. And so I went on Facebook, and I said, I'm not taking this sign down. Like, these guys are full of it. There's no way. This is harassment.
Right.
So I need to raise $8,500.
Yeah. Cover my nut here.
and by the way, because they irritated me, I can't say the real word on the radio.
I'm watching you. You're doing good.
Because they irritated me, let's raise another $8,500, and I'll give that to whoever runs against my county board representative.
Yes.
Oh.
County board, you know. So let's raise $17,000. So I put a link to my merch, you know, which is easily buyable online, and I made $100,000 in 4 days.
Come on.
There you go, baby.
That's amazing.
It was insane. Like, people from Germany were buying my merch, like California,
awesome.
New York, like Louisiana.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was in, like, my computer don't, like, every time a sale was made, like, there was like a little like noise on my computer, like my laptop, and it was like for 4 solid days, like ding 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 ding.
That's awesome.
Like, this is insane. Like, what has happened?
Well, and it also goes to your point about when people see that beer on the shelf, you knew that you weren't alone in the world, too,
yep.
up in the reddest part of Wisconsin. That had to be very satisfying, too, not just financially.
Well, no, we had women, women of color that were driving through northern Wisconsin who wrote to me, one in particular who wrote to me, and she's like, I see these Trump signs everywhere, and it actually makes me scared. It
sure.
actually makes me afraid. And I saw this huge ass Biden sign in the middle of Minocqua,
right.
and she's like, that was a beacon. Like, it
awesome.
Made me feel safe.
Oh,
because that is the difference between what that those two
yeah.
you know, kind of signs stand for.
And I've said this too, because there are a lot of people, so you're in a community, I don't know if Jerry's told you much about the Northwest Side, that has a lot of conflict between progressives and conservatives. I grew up here, I can talk to everybody, and I can also, so I my mom is from Mexico, and we moved into on this block where everyone, all white families up and down the block, and after everything last year, after the George Floyd murder, we decided that I would put my neighbor was married was with a black woman, and I thought, well, I'll put a sign up that says in this house we believe. I'm sure
yeah.
you've seen those
yeah.
signs. So I put one out there, and then they asked for one. I got them one, and then some other neighbors moved in, biracial as well, a black gentleman and a Latina, and they asked for a sign, and I'm like, I'm decolonizing the block.
But exactly.
It's
yeah.
like that corner. They feel like, okay, I'm safe here. There are other people who, mm-hmm. who might look out for me
yeah.
as opposed
mm-hmm.
to what I'm seeing up and down the streets in this neighborhood. And so, but people will call it virtue signaling. I consider it safety.
Totally.
And if that's what it takes, your big Biden sign for a black woman driving through the northern part of Wisconsin to be like, okay, and to breathe.
Yeah,
like, that
totally.
Helped her
right.
breathe.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So the, you know, my vantage point was when Wisconsin, you know, there's Wisconsin, Biden won by 20,000 votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, out of 5 million people in Wisconsin,
right.
20,000 votes.
Is.
And it's all coming from like Madison and Milwaukee, like
yep.
the two biggest, you know, urban areas. And the rest of Wisconsin is like blood red,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so not I shouldn't say that. I mean, that's exaggerating a little bit. But and I was like, we have to play in these areas, and we have to be on offense in these areas, because it's not about ideas anymore. It's about hate, and
yeah, yeah.
it's about lying and hate and authoritarianism. And so it's like, we have to fight back in these areas. And I didn't choose to, you know, to be like the politician up in northern Wisconsin. And I'm not a politician. I'm not running for anything. But I was like, we can't hear these things happen and not do something about it, even if we live, even if we're like
right.
20 points in
you
the minority.
Gotta
so
gotta
we, what can we do?
Fight.
You know, so that's the reason. It's like, I can sell beer, you know, and make my little place like progressive mecca and try to convince people up there to think about things a different way and mm-hmm. cut through the noise.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if they can read like what the thing is on the beer can as mm-hmm. opposed to like listen to Fox News, maybe that will stick mm-hmm. in their
You can watch it and tilt.
Right.
We've got questions. Speaking of those beer cans, we've got questions coming in. I've got to take a break here. We're going to get to all your questions from Mark and from Gary. In particular, people are asking about an AOC beer. We're hearing maybe Tex the Rich just saying more after this on WCPT 820. Hanging out with Kirk Bankstead in studio. The hashtag progressive beer, Minocqua Brewery, and Jerry Walski, no relation. More in a moment.
John Esposito, live, local, and progressive on WCPT Willow Springs is powered by ComEd. Lower your energy bills and reduce your carbon footprint with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program.
You're listening to WCPT 820, because facts matter.
You're listening to Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez.
In your communities in Chicago.
On WCPT 820.
We are live in the Allstate Showcase. Oh, what did I say? I did it again. You know what it is? Hold on one second. You know what it is? It's the beer cans. It's the beer cans. We are in the WCPT 820 studios. And that's, you know, that's a little shout out to my friend Jamie Morales, and you can also ask him for joining in the show. Our friend Jamie, who is the agent for Allstate, right down the street, so it kind of feels like his studio.
Nice day.
We're hanging out in the studio with Jerry Walski, no relation. And
that's going to be everywhere we go from now on. She's going to introduce me that way.
Yeah, and Kirk Bankstead. Oh my gosh, I'm all, you know, can we start this over? Can we fix this in post?
By the way, we're drinking over here, but you're not.
Exactly.
Who was the guy that came in and stole our beer? We've got the staff.
We did have an interloper. Who the hell was that guy?
I don't think he works here. He just came off the street. Patty's like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I heard about the beer," and then it's gone.
He took the most alcoholic one too.
He did the Kamala. He took my Kamala.
He took the Kamala. It's strong. It's 9.8 alcohol by volume. Oh, he's gonna be rolling with it.
All right. He comes up after us though.
We have more stories about how progressive beer started and all those things, and how people can help out in the reddest part of Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is so crucial in all of our elections, in particular when it comes to the midterms and how our Congress looks. But before we do that, we have a question from Mark, our neighbor. Hi, Mark. A question for Kirk. Is there anywhere to find hashtag progressive beer in Chicago or the surrounding areas?
That's a good question. I am here. The reason I'm here today is that I'm kind of traveling around all of the Woodman's grocery stores in like the kind of the burbs, because I'm in all the Woodman's in Wisconsin, and so it's kind of easy to just, but I have to actually talk to them all. It's like their policy. I can't just like call somebody on the phone. So today and tomorrow, I was in Carpenterville today. I was in Rockford. I'm going to be in Buffalo Grove, Bloomingdale, and North Aurora tomorrow. So I think that's probably going to start happening within the next month. We're going to start delivering. And I'm looking for a distributor in Chicago, and I'm hoping to find one. But until then, I've got a little white van and a guy to drive it to deliver this beer to at least six Woodmans in the Chicagoland area.
So there you go, Mark. Mark, if you feel like distributing for our friend Kirk, that would be awesome.
We need a guy.
We definitely need a guy.
Does it help when people say, we'll all start calling Binnie's and say, hey, why don't you carry progressive beer?
It totally helps. That's the only way that I've expanded, because people started following me when I became very vocal on Facebook. I had 11,000 kind of people that followed the Minocqua Brewing Company before all these political crazy things happened. Mm-hmm. And now we're up to about 50,000.
Yeah.
So when I came, you know, when I came up with these beer names, I, you know, would go on Facebook and be like, listen, like, you know, Madison's the most liberal place in Wisconsin. I'm trying to stay alive here. I had to close my, you know, brew pub down. We're still making beer. Does anybody know anybody that can, you know, that might want to buy some of our beer? So that's how it's been completely organic. It's like it started in Madison and Milwaukee, and there was a couple people that had like heard my story, and they're like, sure, we'll carry your beer. And then, you know, sales started going well, and then like all of a sudden, like all the university towns in Wisconsin, like La Crosse, Stevens Point, Eau Claire, they started, like, I found a couple little store, like mom and pop stores in every one of these little cities, and they're all like, yeah, we want to do this. Like, this is great. We want to sell your beer. So it's been organic, and now we found a distributor, and it all, I mean, and the reason people are buying it, I think we're going to get to this at some point, is 5% of all the money I raise, all the profits that I have go to my super. I created a super PAC.
Unbelievable!
I love this.
Which is ridiculous.
Talk about, you know, creates beers and a super PAC.
Well, so it's like if the Koch brothers can do it, why the heck can't I? You know?
Yeah.
And
I love it.
So it's like we don't have a lot of money in our super PAC, but I mean. But people loved it, and weirdly, I created the super PAC on January 4th, and I put this long email out saying it was I'm mad at my senator in particular and my congressman because they voted against the stimulus package, which would have saved restaurants and bars.
Right.
Like I was like. I didn't really think about the fact that 2 days later was going to be an insurrection against our country.
Yeah, you know?
I was like just mad at these two guys. And I'm like, my super PAC is going to raise money to get them out of office because they politically voted against helping my industry.
Right.
So I was very, like, very tunnel vision in terms of what I wanted my super PAC to do. And then all of a sudden there's an insurrection.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if you guys in Illinois know, like, Ron Johnson is, like, the worst senator in the country. So he
allegedly.
And this guy named Tom Tiffany, who is, like, in the northern part of Wisconsin, after Tom Tiffany, after almost losing his life because he's part of the House, which was attacked, like, 3 hours later voted to not allow the results.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like that's my representative.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was willing to almost get killed before telling the truth about what the election was going to be about.
And he refused.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We have a listener who's calling in. Want to talk to Earl?
Sure.
Hey, Earl, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I appreciate the fact that you guys are talking about good beer.
a little something different today, huh?
We got the demo now, Patty.
That's my topic. Yes. So what I wanted to recommend is if you can do your homework, look for Timothy Rand. He has one of the largest distributors in northern Illinois here in Chicago. He's at the airports. He has liquor stores all over that he supplies to. And if you can call his office, Timothy Rand, he's well known. He's a black distributor.
Oh, there you go.
Chicago.
Love it.
And he's a liberal. So,
I love it. I love that you were making
this
connection.
That's so nice, man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And that's a guy who's like, this sounds like good beer. I need to be delivered to my grocery store.
Well, so that's why I want to come to Chicago. Obviously, I'm a business. I want to make money. And Chicago's a big market for a northern Wisconsin guy. But I'm like, you guys, your votes for president don't really count for a lot. Like, let's be honest. I mean, like, you're solidly going to go into the blue camp.
We're locked in.
I mean, this is my spiel anyways. And I know it's capitalism. I want my business to succeed. But it's very easy to do something for Wisconsin politics to make us more blue if you just buy a beer.
There you go.
How much better does it get than that?
I'm a team player all the way through, my friend.
For Wisconsin.
Exactly.
Do it for Wisconsin.
Well, and then Michigan would like to chime in. Hey, Heather from Michigan. How are you doing, Heather?
I'm fine, thanks. And I wanted to say I empathize with the man who mentioned Ron Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's deplorable.
It's the worst. The worst.
He is the basket.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to say I feel bad for you having Ron Johnson as a congressman.
People are calling with the condolences.
Right? No, Ron Johnson's the kind of guy that if Joe Biden were to say the sky is blue, mm-hmm. Ron Johnson would look at the blue sky and go on Fox News and say, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Yes, he would.
Absolutely.
And I just can't believe people keep reelecting him.
Yeah.
We got a tough state.
Yeah.
It's a, I don't, I, I love it, and I have a love-hate relationship.
You came through for us in 2020, though, man. I mean, yeah.
I know.
We needed you, and we got to keep that going.
Yeah. Well, and Heather, when you say in Michigan, you went into the same thing, where there are people who have the traditions of their families and their communities, whether it's church or patriotism, and that sort of muddies everything. They're easily swayed by imagery that scares them, that the commies are coming, or all these ideas of they throw socialists around without having any idea what that means. Wouldn't you say it's the same thing in Michigan, Heather?
Yes, but luckily we have two Democratic senators.
Fair enough.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was impressed that we reelected Gary Peters, and he does do a very nice job. He works across the aisle when he can, but I'm proud of both he and Stabenow. So, luckily we got some decent senators, but oh my God, for the past, well, let's just say this, while Trump was in office, I don't think anybody in our state was happy.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, I don't think I slept for 4 years. It was I was just like, what's he saying on Twitter now? Have a great rest of your evening, Heather. Thank you.
When you said that, it's like, you talk about the Taliban getting radicalized. Like, mm-hmm. Trump radicalized me.
Yeah.
I was I was just hunky dory, happy to run a brew pub. happy to sing on my stage.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, this guy comes along, and I'm like, what the hell?
Let's do one more call before we go to the break and talk some more about your beers, because we still haven't gotten to all of the beers because people want to know about the names of them, and they're obviously also already requests. Hey, Don, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I just had a quick comment about somebody had mentioned, or you guys were talking about the bailouts being held up a little bit last year. And I think part of the problem is that on both sides of the aisle, there was a lot of politicizing with COVID. For example, the bills that would come out to say, pay everybody X amount of dollars, for anybody under a certain age or certain income, there was all kinds of attachments to the bills and projects on there. That's one reason Republicans fought against it. And that was the downside of the bills that Democrats were trying to push forward, is no one could just write on, you or I could have wrote on a piece of paper, everybody gets $400 and send it out. And then there's no argument. But it got politicized on both sides of the aisle. And I think we need to step back on that, and we could just stop the blame game and go forward. And I really think we need to look at it that way.
Well, I think I get the, letting the things behind us, not about what's happened, but what you're going to do. But it's also about learning what they're willing to do and at what cost to the people in their districts, in our country. And that, I think that's part of it, too, because it becomes a fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I'm going to drink some of this beer. Have a great night, Don. I appreciate the conversation. People do want to know more about the beer. So let's take a break here, and we'll come into the home stretch, and apparently we're going to go grab a beer somewhere locally, and I'm so sorry to my friend Eric, who I canceled plans because these guys want to go hang out.
But
I have my guest from yesterday, Tom, is going to come join us, and we'll go. Well, there's a couple of good breweries in the area. Lake Effect is available at a couple of restaurants. Lake Effect Brewery is great, and then Printer's Row, but they don't have food, but they do have
I haven't been to Printer's Row yet.
I'm on my second beer. We're going to have to get some food.
Yeah, we're going to Printer's.
More after this on WCPT. You're making me so jealous. I'm so thirsty.
She may close the show early.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up. It's going to be music for the next 15 minutes, everybody. Enjoy the sweet tunes.
Rick Unger.
We need both parts of this infrastructure. We need the physical infrastructure, but we also need the human infrastructure. It's critical. It is important. It is a major step forward, probably among the most significant legislation that we have seen since the Great Depression. It is important stuff. It does important things for people that really need to be done and should be done.
Rick Unger, weekday evenings at 6, right here on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
My friend Marty, he wants to split the party. He wants blue folks in red states to vote green. I can see his point, though. I really gotta say, no, we can't have another 2016. It seems nothing beats orange. Nothing even freaking rhymes with it. What's a battered nation supposed to do? His Royal Orange Highness, he does love to divide us. We gotta stick together.
That's Steve Goody with from his latest CD, What I Did on My Pandemic Vacation. And much like our friend Kirk Banks said, who's in studio, Progressive Beer, hashtag Progressive Beer, he, during the pandemic, was like, what am I gonna do? And he wrote a whole album. And he's got QAnon Girl, Pandemic Vacation.
I love QAnon Girl. It is great. I love that too.
It's really, really good. So that's we have in studio with us Jerry Walsky, no relation. And
Orange, His Highness likes to divide us. That's genius right there.
Like you and Steve Goody have a lot, because I mean, like what you put on your beers. Now, first of all, let's go back a little bit, because we talked about how you moved back to Wisconsin and under, you know, sad circumstances, but things turned around. You had this great brew pub with a performance space where you were doing opera, and then you couldn't believe it.
Northern Wisconsin. In the woods, by the way.
And the world comes crashing down on all of us. And by the way, one of the things that you had mentioned while we were in the hallway was when they were forcing people to vote in person in Wisconsin, they would not allow them to postpone the vote or have mail-in ballots was part of the problem, too. They were not making it easy to do that.
Yeah. April of 2020, the month after we were forced to shelter at home, we were the only state in the union that was forced, because the Republican legislature took our governor to court. We were forced to vote in person.
Yeah.
And we thought it was the plague at that point.
Right.
Like, we didn't know that being outside was a little bit better than being inside or whatever. But it was terrifying, and there was 8 polling stations open in Milwaukee out of like 170, because no election workers showed up. So because they were scared to death. So the Republicans thought this was going to be a slam dunk. Like, we were going to just get everybody elected that we want elected, because no one's going to show up to the polls. And people did in droves, and they sat in line and risked their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know now that COVID's not that bad outside, but back then they didn't. And the lines were around the blocks. It made national news. And when that happened, I picked up the phone, and because I was trying, I mean, I'm a restaurant. I was trying my darndest to like keep people safe and keep my people employed. And I was like, I can't believe they just did this to us. They put politics before our health. And so I called up my Oneida County Democratic Party office and I said, listen, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I'm not really a politician, but if nobody's running against one of our like big old conservative assemblymen or Democrats, like put me in, coach.
I'm ready to play.
So I got killed in the election, and it wasn't about me winning, but it's about me holding these guys accountable for what they did to
us. Make them speak to it. Yeah. That's the thing, is that a lot of times things get done behind closed doors or against the will of many people, and that's just it's reprehensible.
Yeah.
But then, so you have this huge vat of beer that you now cannot sell in the brew pub.
Yeah, so I closed the brew pub in September, and you know, and I have all this beer that is just like aging, and within a couple months, it's going to go, we don't pasteurize it. It's going to get skunky. And so I told my brewer, I was like, listen, like we split it 50-50. Like you package this stuff up, you sell it, you know, you take whatever we can get, because we're already closed. And it wasn't moving. And then all of a sudden, Biden wins. And I call him up. I'm like, man, like we have all, you know, growlers, like we're canned growlers, 32 ounces of beer. We had all these like pre-printed growlers. I said, dude, just like cut and paste Biden-Harris's logo and print all of our like mailing labels, like print them and just put Biden beer on a mailing label and put it on our crowlers and just call. We had a large amount blonde, which was like a light beer. And so I call it Biden beer, and then the hashtag inoffensive and not bitter.
Perfect.
and I said, and it was just Biden beer was on the thing, but in the Facebook post, I was like, it's inoffensive. I came down with this like spiel that was kind of funny. And people drove for hours.
Wow.
They stood in line in northern. It was cold.
Wow.
Where it was like the middle of the woods.
Well, people were celebrating.
Madison and Milwaukee. Like, no, we won by 20,000 votes out of 5 million people.
Right.
And this was Biden beer.
Right.
So people came from. We sold out of all our largemouth blonde.
Yeah.
And then my brewer's like, what do we do? I'm like, well, we got a brown ale. Just put Biden beer on that. So it was not good. We put Biden labels on every beer that we had.
Spirit of brewing.
We sold all our beer in like a day.
Okay.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
Amazing. Wow. So you've got the Biden beer and you're like, all right, I guess we can do this.
Yeah. So then the next one, we were like, well, my brewer's like, Kirk, we got to keep going with this. So we made an inauguration day beer, which was, listen to this. It was a white chocolate ale, because for Biden and Kamala. We called it Inauguration Day beer, and it was called A Peaceful Transition of Flavor.
Oh, well nice. Done. Well
so that's all your marketing
yeah,
stuff.
Very well
yeah,
done.
I was marketing earlier.
Yeah.
So that sold out before we even could brew it. We did pre-sales because we thought this was going to be the end of it, but we just wanted to keep on celebrating. And we did a pre-sale, like, we're going to make one batch. Who wants it? We sold all the beer before we even put it in the tank.
Man.
Wow.
So that clued me into, like, you know, maybe I don't have to go out of business after all. Like,
right.
Maybe this is something that I can really put my heart and soul into. Like, I'm decent at marketing. Like, I make beer.
Yeah.
And I want to make Northern Wisconsin
You're
more progressive.
About this, right?
You know,
right,
I want to change Wisconsin. I don't want to ever be red again. Like, mm-hmm. like the Donald Trump should never win Wisconsin again, or the next Donald. You
well,
know?
Right. Any of his ilk, let's just say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you have Kamala, which is a stout, a fantastic stout, by the way. I'm a big fan. You have the.
By the way, it's a strong vice presidential stout.
Which is
a play on words of imperial stout, which is very high alcohol.
See?
It's like a Democrat. Imperial stout.
Right.
Strong vice presidential stout.
Patty is not drinking now. She's talking out of experience.
I know.
Right? She's on the board.
Right.
Yeah, Jerry brought me some back from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He spent I lent him my Prius and I got all your beer.
Oh,
it worked out really well.
Wow, that's a good trade.
Yes, it was a very good trade.
Yeah. Of course you have a Prius.
Yeah, bleeding heart and liver.
Awesome.
By the way, you know, in these, you know, the we were talking yesterday about the picture of me that the neighborhood alderman allegedly also was disparaging me, calling me filth and stuff.
Right.
It was so funny because the people were like trying to figure it out. They're like, ostensibly, she's a progressive. I'm like, what's that?
Where did I lose you?
I had to go look it up. I was like, appears to be. That's my beer, by the way, is ostensibly a liberal.
Okay.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
Okay. How about it tastes like a liberal? Okay, so you've got the Kamala Stout. You've got the Fair Maps. What were we say?
Well, can I give the tagline to Bernie Brew?
Yes.
Of course.
So Bernie Brew is a lovingly irascible and democratic socialist lager.
Nice. I want to hug that beer.
Yeah.
I just want to hug it.
It's got mittens and it's just sitting
here. Yeah,
everybody wanted me to put the mittens, but I'm like, the mittens thing was already cheesy before I even started the label.
But the beer cozy could be mittens on
yeah,
there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's genius.
Make a note. Make a note.
You want to be my merch? You want to be my merch queen?
The little knit, the mittens would be very cute as a cozy. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you also have the Fair Maps.
Fair Maps, which gerrymandering in Wisconsin, our governor and our legislature in 2010 was all Republican. And so they jammed in the craziest maps, which nobody could defend against. And it caused what was happening in Wisconsin to a large degree. Like, our democracy has been, democracy in Wisconsin has been compared to like the Maldives.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have democracy in Wisconsin because your vote doesn't matter because it's been gerrymandered.
So there's no way.
So there's a huge in Wisconsin. There's a huge movement like everywhere, but it really matters that we have to get better maps. So that's been happening for the last couple years, and so we came out like this little can is a billboard that shows what the maps were like in 2010 and where they're now, and it's like dramatically terrible.
Here, let me show the the can, but I'm not having any.
No,
oh, it's already empty.
It's already empty.
It's way empty.
So for folks who are watching, let me see if I'm doing that right, so you can see how the fair maps is right there. On that's really, I love that.
It's called a balanced and unrigged IPA.
That's fantastic. So for folks who are driving in the Wisconsin area, they can go to Woodman's grocery stores.
We have, like, on my website, we have like a map that has all our retail stores.
Well, what's your website?
But MinocqueBrewingCompany.com.
Okay.
But the Woodman's are like, those are like, that's like the big box store that like somehow or another we got into.
That was like
nirvana for me. Like, no way.
No, that's
like, these guys
one.
Are going to carry my beer? This
Kenosha,
is insane.
I hit Kenosha every time I get up to Lake Geneva. You're just right there on 50 right there. Boom, boom. But I got it. Yeah. And you do well there. And you got you're selling it there, man. Because all the, can we say fibs? All day?
Fibs? Oh,
you can't spell out fibs, but you can say fibs.
No, I was appalled that it's gone on to fish, and you'll have to look it up online and see what they now call us.
Right, yes.
Urban Dictionary.
Right.
I was not pleased to hear that.
But, yeah.
And again, I want to come back to listeners that are requesting an AOC beer, and her Met Gala dress would be the cozy now, though. We could do Tax the Rich as a white cozy with the red.
I saw some mock-up earlier of something.
There may or may not be something to that effect in the works.
Maybe something brewing. Hello.
Before we go, because we're wrapping up, and Rick Unger is up next. The show being is in its entirety. I still have not heard from Larry and Betty and how dinner's going, by the way. I just want to say that we could pair some beer with your dinners if I knew what you're having. If you're eating with me, I don't know. But tell folks how they can find you and what they can do to help get the word out there about your progressive beer.
Yeah, so you can always go to our website and find where to buy the beer at brewingcompany.com, or you can just donate to the Super PAC, which is on our website. And the Super PAC, we've raised about $250,000 so far. I've spent about $130,000 of it on fair maps. We've hired an organizer to help progressives run for county board up there, which is like building a bench for progressives, even though it's very conservative. So I don't pay myself any of that money. It's like the most clean Super PAC you'll probably ever have. So yeah, so you can either donate to the Super PAC or buy my merch online or buy beer, and all that money will help Wisconsin become more progressive.
Excellent. We look forward to having you back in the studio. Thank you, Jerry, no relation, Walski. Yes. And Kirk Bagstad, we're excited to have you in studio and look forward to having you back. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for joining us for a fun hour.